Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. Hey there, in this episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show, you are going to listen to a replay of the Authentic Persuasion training sessions that are live each week. So in this replay, I'm taking that session, having it here so that you can listen to it, take notes, replay it, digest it, and then put these things into action. If you'd like, make sure to set your calendars for Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, so that you can tune in live. If you want to register and sign up for free, make sure to go to jasoncutter.com, and there's a link on there. Or you can email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com as well, and I can get you the information for signing up. All right, hope you have your notepad ready to go. Let's dive into this replay of the Authentic Persuasion training session. Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion weekly training sessions. This is session number 10, week number 10. My name again is Jason Cutter. If you're tuning into this, welcome. Glad that you're here. I do this every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. GMT. And this is a pre-recorded session. I am traveling again. I did it a few weeks ago. This time, as you're watching this, I am in Las Vegas at LeadsCon, which is an amazing conference. I love it. I missed it last year during the pandemic. I consider that my Super Bowl of conferences for the relationships that I have, the people that I know. And then also as a consultant, I go there and look for solutions and value that I can take to my clients, whether it's new lead sources, it's technology, it's people who can help in other ways that works holistically with what I do on the sales side. And so as you're watching this, I am at that conference having fun and speaking. So I'm actually on stage speaking today as of Friday, which is exciting because it's the first time I will be speaking at that conference, which is a big milestone for me, having loved that conference for so long. To be invited and able to come on stage is a huge deal. So you're watching a pre-recorded. This is Monday the 18th when I'm recording this before I head out of town tomorrow. I still wanted to put this out there for everyone to get some value from, learn from, hopefully help with your selling and your sales role. A couple of things that I always want to start with is the reason why I do this is because it's my mission to empower and encourage over a million authentic persuaders. If we think about that term authentic persuasion and what that may mean to you or what that may trigger or resonate with you, the big key is that if we think about it in the most positive light, if we had a million people out in the world who are selling with authentic persuasion and seeing themselves as a sales professional and helping people as their clients succeed in what it is that they're looking for, whether it's achieving a goal or getting out of pain, whatever that looks like, a million authentic persuaders will dramatically shift the way the public views salespeople. Because right now, let's be honest, most people see sales as a dirty word, thanks to salespeople. And when we think of that, it triggers some unpleasant thoughts or some visual images of what a salesperson is or how they should act. And obviously that's not what people really want. And that's not what they're craving and looking for, which is why I'm doing these sessions to help you shift and become more of an authentic persuader in all that you do and how you act. And keeping in mind, everything in life is sales. So it's not just about if you're in a sales role or sitting at a desk or selling in some way, relationships, anything else. If you work at a company and you want to get your boss, your manager to like your ideas or support your ideas or your initiatives, things like that. Or if you're a leader of a team and you want to help your team buy in and follow the initiatives that you have or the things that you provide, you direct them to. Everything is sales. It's literally the same principles, no matter what, that you can apply to everything. So the other thing, and I always like to mention this too, is my own personal and professional mission is that I want to facilitate transformation by enabling and encouraging light bulb moments. You know, that moment where you hear something, read something, put it into play, you try it out, it works. Oh my gosh, that was amazing. and then you keep doing it. That's what I want for all of you and for everyone I speak with. Also, I want to help the underdog win their game, whatever their game is, whatever they're doing. The people who feel like maybe they can't win, or they're not good enough, or they don't have the skills, or they're not a natural born fill in the blank. I want to help them win, because that's near and dear to my heart and how I am in life. And then lastly, I want to help people be better off than when I found them, right? Like the old Boy Scout camping models, leave things better than you found them. I want to leave people better than I found them, which is why I do this well and put that out there. A couple of things before I get into today's session. Make sure, if you don't have a copy of Selling with Authentic Persuasion, email me and I will send you a link where I will send you an autographed copy for free. Just cover the shipping and I'll send that out to you. Also, I have lots of guides. So as I go through this, if there's anything you're listening to and you're thinking, hey, I want more help on that, or does Jason have a guide for that? Email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. And then lastly, I am launching the pre-enrollment wait list for my private group coaching program. So if you like this information, if this resonates with you, and it leads you to have more questions, like what would I do in this situation? How do I cover this? What would I say if somebody asked me this? What should I do when reaching out for this? How should I write my emails? What kind of voicemail should I leave? Any questions? It's going to be an open forum Q&A where you can learn from each other, learn from me, raise questions, and talk about it on a weekly basis. So the private group coaching program is launching soon. So I'm taking people for the waitlist for that. So if you're interested, email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and then I'll send you the information to put yourself on the waitlist and then let you know when that launches. So let's dive into this. Last week, as I always like to do, just a quick recap, last week, session number 9, that was part 2 of an empathy discussion. So we're looking at the authentic persuasion pathway as a whole, and there's 5 parts in it. It's rapport, empathy, trust, hope, and urgency. So far, we covered rapport, and then we spent 2 weeks on empathy. And again, empathy, most people don't think about that in the sales process, or they think maybe I should do that, or that's a nice to have. In this case here, I'm using empathy as the umbrella for the question, discovery, asking, probing portion of every sales process. Now, why do I call it empathy? Because when you ask questions, you use active listening, 2 ears, 1 mouth. You ask probing questions because you want to get to the heart of what that person wants or needs. And again, if you're selling business to business, you're selling business to consumer, you're dealing with a human. It's not either one of those. It's H to H. It's human to human. No matter what, even if it's a large enterprise deal that could take 18 months to close, you're still interacting with another human who has hopes and fears and challenges and goals and pain and worries and their own things they don't want anyone to know about that they're going through in their life and their own challenges. And so you're helping another person make a decision and move to the safe conclusion, the safe path out of their comfort zone into change. And change is scary. It's what we've covered many times so far, and I'll keep bringing it up. So the reason why I call it empathy is that when you do those steps in a certain framework with the listening as somebody who's trying to help, then what happens is you're relaying empathy and showing that person that you care. Now, a lot of times what happens in sales is people just ask questions and check the box. They ask questions, but they don't really care about the answers because they already think they know everything, or they think everyone should just want what they're selling. They don't actually care about you, the person, because they don't care what you want or need. They assume that you want or need what they're selling. And so that's what we're trying to avoid. We want this to feel like a custom experience for that person who's buying, where you actually care about them and you want to help them, not just as a number, but them as a person, them as a company. So that's why I call it company empathy. Last week, I closed out on the empathy part about talking about why we should care, why that's important to care, and then also the value and benefit of being honest by saying no. When you tell somebody no, when you tell them that you cannot help them, or they shouldn't buy from you, or they don't qualify, or it's not a good fit, then what happens is that you're telling them no, and then there's some real significant value, both for you and for them. And again, you might thinking, well, I'm in sales and I should get everyone to say yes, and I should be telling everybody and moving everyone and just finding a way to make it valuable to them. But if you're selling anything of significance, and it doesn't have to be price, right? I'm not talking about price. I'm talking about significance as in value, as in a decision, meaning that there's people who should buy and it would benefit. And then there's people who shouldn't buy and it wouldn't benefit. If that's you, based on what you're selling, if there's people that can succeed with it and people who it's not a good fit, then there's real value in saying no. So make sure you check out the replays. Again, all of this, whether you're watching this now, it's also on LinkedIn, Facebook under the Cutter Consulting Group business page. It's on the YouTube channel. So Jason Cutter YouTube channel. It's also on the podcast, whether you're watching this online right now or listening to it, but it's on the podcast, The Authentic Persuasion Show. So make sure to check out week 9, session 9. So let's jump into this week. Now, what I said about the authentic persuasion pathway is that there's 5 steps. Again, rapport, empathy, trust, hope, urgency. This week, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep moving through the process. And I have a diagram for this. So if you want to see what this looks like and how you're helping people move out of their comfort zone, away from the center where it's nice and safe and cozy, then you'll see that. Just email me and I can send that to you. Third step is trust. Here's the big thing with trust, and this is what we're going to cover today. You cannot ask for trust. You cannot require trust. You cannot demand trust. You can't even like force trust. There's a formula for building trust, and it's what we've covered so far. So if you're taking notes, make sure to write this down, is rapport plus empathy equals trust. And it sounds simple, right? Usually people think I got to build trust. I got to do these things. But the act of getting someone to trust you and building that trust doesn't happen by doing trust or doing a trust step. Really what it is, it's about warming things up, right? Again, this is the part from Bob Berg that is very valuable, which is people, if when all things are equal, people will buy from people they know, like, and trust. Right? So we want no, we want like, and then the trust part. The rapport step is that first part. That's where we're warming things up. We're breaking the ice, building the relationship, and getting things moving forward. Then the second part is the empathy step, which we've covered now for 2 weeks. And the reason why I covered the empathy step is because we want them to know that we care about them. We're not just selling them like we would sell everyone else. We actually care and want them to succeed in some way. And of course, if we can help them, we're going to move them forward in the process and then help them buy. In the act, what I have found after seeing so many sales interactions with hundreds and hundreds of sales reps is that when you do those steps, when you build rapport in the right way, which we covered in session 7, week 7, and then you do the empathy step in the right way, where it's that intention of what you're going for on the authentic persuasion pathway. And again, we covered those the last 2 weeks. When you do those things, those 2 steps in that order, in their completeness, whatever that looks like, then you will get trust out the back end. And what's interesting is that when you do that, it works really well. People feel like you care about them. They feel like they can trust you. And here's the big thing. And this is something that's sometimes hard for people in sales to realize, but is super, super important. Most people in sales are either taught or they feel like the best way to build trust is to come out of the gate and talk about all these things that would make you a trustworthy business or individual and show that you can be trusted. So what does that look like? Well, I call it the monologue, but it's the explanation about you, your company. It's the elevator pitch. It's the facts, the figures. It's the features. It's the benefits. It's the testimonials. It's the social proof. It's all of these things that if you think about it, now that we're going through this pathway, if you've watched all of these and you're following along, if we look at what happens in most sales processes with salespeople that don't necessarily come across like they care about us, they come out of the gate with all of those things, right? And the best example I can give, because this happens all the time, is like when I go to trade shows or conferences and I'm walking around the expo hall floor, you know, where there's booths and there's people in those booths and they're standing there and they're handing out different things that you may or may not need just to get your attention or to get you to remember them. And then what happens? You walk up to their booth, if you end up making eye contact with them. Sometimes I've worked enough booths where I see people who don't want to make eye contact because they just don't want to get roped into a conversation. That person that's standing in the booth just goes into their monologue presentation that they've done over and over again, right? Where they're just talking about their product, their program, their service, their software, whatever it is, themselves, their logos, their branding, maybe just instantly jumping into a demo or showing something on a TV or a PowerPoint or an iPad or whatever that looks like, and just instantly diving into the sales pitch. And what they're going for, and that strategy is focused on me as the salesperson. And if I say these things and I show you how amazing I am and we are as a business or a company, whatever that looks like, then you will want to buy. If I just do all those things, it will be amazing and you will be amazed and it will build trust and you'll go, wow, this is a great company. I want more information, or maybe I want to sign up. And so that's what happens. Now, when you step back, once you get enlightened a little bit about the sales process and what works and what people actually like versus what's normally done, which are two different things, then you start to realize like that is A, can be a giant waste of time if you're not a good fit, right? Because they're just going into this monologue instead of pre-qualifying and understanding if it's even worth telling you it or not. And then the other part is that when that happens, it's tough to feel special. It's tough to feel like they actually care, because really when you step back and observe it, what comes across is they care about themselves. They care about themselves, their product, their program, their amazingness, their logos, the companies they work with, their social proof, what other people say, their awards. And really it's about them talking about how amazing they are or how amazing they think they are and the great value they provide. And it's about them and not about you, the potential customer. And that's what we want to shift. That's what we want to get away from. So if you notice so far in our process, we have rapport, we have empathy. Now we're in the trust step. At no point have I said, here is where you dump all of those things on somebody. Right? I'm not saying you got to do that in the beginning. Now, what's going to happen in the very beginning, especially in rapport, and especially as you do your transitions from rapport to empathy, and you have these things, which the transitions are the most important part. That's where most of the people fail at sales to move people forward and end up being order takers because they miss the transition. So important. At some point, we will talk about that. And if you want help on your transitions, email me. Let me know. I will send you some ideas and tips for that. Also, that's where the private group coaching will come in. So if you're struggling with transitions, then that would be a great place to cover those and learn from others and figure out what would be best for those transitions you might get stuck in. So here's the thing. I haven't talked about that part. This is where that goes. So we've built rapport. We've created empathy. We've shared empathy. Now we're in the trust step. So the trust step is you have done the things to build up a level of trust, and then now you're going to solidify that trust, and now you can talk about yourself. This is where you would want to talk about yourself, your company, your product, your service a little bit, not fully. That's where the next step comes in, which is going to be the hope step. So fight the urge to just go into a long monologue about your product or service yet. This is about you, your company, testimonials, social proof, third-party validation, whatever that looks like to solidify and cement that trust. Now, one of the things that comes up is a lot of people just want to jump in and talk about themselves in the beginning. Fight that urge. And what's going to happen too is because the general public, the buying public, again, anybody, whether they're at a company or they're an individual sitting in their living room or they're in your showroom floor, they are used to people dumping a lot of information about who they are and their company. And so a lot of times when they start the process, they are used to that, or they've got their guard up and they say, well, tell me about what you do, right? What you want to do is you want to make sure if that happens prior to the trust step, so you're in the rapport or empathy phase where you're not supposed to talk about yourself very much. Remember, two ears, one mouth. It's not about you yet. It's about them. if they do ask that or they prompt that and they want to know more about you, give them a little bit. Give them the elevator version, the quick pitch, the 30 seconds, maybe 60 seconds, and then use a response like this. Tell them something like, blah, blah, here's my 30 seconds. And I will share more about what we do and the kind of programs we have and how I think I might be able to help you. But first, I want to make sure that you qualify or you would be a good fit, because sometimes people aren't a good fit for what we offer. And I don't want to waste your time explaining what we do if it doesn't even make sense to move forward. And then get back to what you're focused on. So you want to use some kind of response to that where you're giving them some information, but also letting them know, I don't want to waste your time, or I don't want to waste my time. And I'd like to share those things with you, tell those things to you down the road. But for now, let's see if it's even a good fit. Let's see if this is a match, right? And again, if we think of courtship and trying to build a relationship with someone or determine if you want to build a relationship with yourself, you could talk about yourself or talk about future plans all you want. And a lot of people do. A lot of people approach that situation like they do in sales, which is gross. And they just talk about themselves and how amazing they are and promote themselves and how much money they have and the kind of job, the kind of car, the kind of house, blah, blah, blah. All these things that they think builds trust and a desire and a need. But really what it does is it pushes most people away because they're like, I don't care. Like, I won't even know if it's worth going out with you yet. Like, all that stuff doesn't matter. And what I'll tell you, funny side note, is if you do lead with that, if that's your courtship kind of like dating strategy, and you do that like you're doing it in sales, you will be, somebody will move forward with that. Somebody will say, wow, he's got a nice house and a nice car and a nice job, and he makes a lot of money and he has a nice watch and he has nice friends and he's a member of this nice country club or whatever it is. That person says, ooh, this is good. This is what I need. That may work some percentage of the time. But what I know is that that isn't necessarily going to be the relationship you want, because it's really going to be based around those things. And then, you know, what kind of quality would that be? Same thing when it comes to sales and business, which is if you lead with all these things about you and someone's like, okay, that sounds great, will they stay? Will that be a good long-term client or not? Are you actually helping them, or do they just buy into the hype and then they're going to change their mind later on? So when you're doing this, make sure you save the part about you until the end. One of the biggest things that I do that always shocks people when I'm working in trade show booths, like for my clients, sometimes I go to their conferences and help them and support them in the trade show booth. So helping their team, showing their team how to close more sales from the booth or how to generate more leads standing in the conference, how to promote it better. And then also just closing deals myself and helping them with that revenue side. One of the biggest things that I do is the same way I do sales and the same way I do so many things, and this is what I teach people to do, is that when someone walks up, they're just conditioned to ask, what do you do? So I'm standing in the booth, someone says, what do you do? Right? And then they're expecting me to go on my giant monologue, which again, could waste time. There's so many times it just doesn't work and it's not a good fit. So what I do is say, hey, I am happy to tell you about what we do, but first tell me about what you do. And depending on what I'm there for and the booth and the service that's being provided, I'll ask some prompting questions like, tell me about this or tell me about that. And then that starts the conversation. I want to know. And then at some point I will say, well, based on what you told me, here's what we do. Here's why I think it's a good fit for you. Or based on what you told me, here's what we do. It's not a good fit. Here's what I suggest instead. And so that's really what we want to do. We want a rapport, empathy, which is that question asking phase, and then the trust. Then that's where you can talk about yourself. Again, not so much about your solution. That's coming in the next step. That's the hope phase. But for now, it's about the trust step. It's about building that trust through those other parts and then solidifying it with you, your company, the logos, the testimonials, the social proof, those kind of things where it says, hey, based on what you told me, here's what we do. Let me tell you about us. Then this is the part that's going to be important. We're going to cover this next week because this is a really big deal. Then
in the next step, which is the hope phase, which is based on what you told me, here's what we provide and here's how I think it can help you. And so that's a really big key. So I wanted to keep today very focused, keep it a little bit shorter, focused on the trust step. And really, this is a big game changer because, again, a lot of people in sales, especially people who are struggling, and again, I use the phrase order taker, the label order taker. Again, I'll say this all the time. It's not a scarlet letter. It's not a permanent branding. It's not a negative connotation. It's just a state of affairs with somebody's closing process, maybe abilities, skills, training, and then ultimately the stats. If you're closing the easy ones and you're hoping people buy from you without a process or strategy, then you're in this category. My goal is to help you be a sales professional, to be proactive in these conversations. That's why it's authentic persuasion, not just authentic order taker, and not just persuasion, because persuasion without the authenticity and transparency part is probably going to feel gross and more like manipulation. I want you to do both. And so that is the key here, is to help you put things in a better framework. Because again, I see a lot of people who are afraid of selling or afraid of what sales means because they think it's about that pushy self-promotion part that they don't want to do, but they think that's a requirement, and it's not. That is the classic old school sales model. I want you to follow a different model. So again, we have the rapport, empathy, and trust, and then the rest of the pathway, which we'll cover. Again, if you have any questions about this, you want any of this framework, you want to see the authentic persuasion pathway. Also, I have some eBooks. If you want, email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. Happy to send you any resources. Also, like I said, if you don't have a copy of Selling with Authentic Persuasion, email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. And I'm happy to send you the link for covering the shipping. And then I'll sign a copy and I'll send it to you. That way you've got it and you can read through it and build upon what we're talking about here. And then lastly, like I mentioned early on, I have my private group coaching program. It's going to be super fun. Hoping to launch that in the next few weeks. And that's going to be an open forum, hot seat coaching, Q&A. Bring your questions, bring your challenges. It's not going to be a lecture group coaching program where it's like, I'm going to tell you these things. Most people have enough information. What I found with salespeople in all the sessions I've done, and like when I go to an office, I'll usually do very little training and more open it up. Everyone's got questions. They've got a scenario. They've got a situation. They want to know how to handle this. That's what this is for, at scale. Learn from me, share your challenges, learn from other people and the questions they ask. Make sure, email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and I will send you the info. We'll get you on the waiting list for when that launches, and then we'll help you close more deals and make more money. And that's it for this session. Thanks for watching this, even as a replay. Sorry I couldn't be here live. Again, I am traveling. I'm at a conference. I might be speaking right now when you're watching this. So thank you for tuning in. Make sure to share this. Make sure to like it, because all of that helps promote it. Let's get all that out there. Again, my goal is to empower and encourage a million authentic persuaders. So the more you can share this information, this message, help other salespeople, anybody in sales, then we can start shifting the way sales is done and the way that consumers view sales, which will ultimately make it easier for salespeople because you'll have less resistance, which is what we want. So thanks for tuning in, and I will catch you next week.
That's it for the replay of the Authentic Persuasion Weekly Live Training Session. Again, make sure to catch them live Fridays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. You can go to jasoncutter.com to sign up so you can get alerts, put it on your calendar, and have the links for when it goes live. And you can always email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and I can get you the information to sign up, as well as let me know any questions that you have, topics you want me to cover, or guides that you may be looking for. Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode, and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.